Praise God. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter, and the message is entitled, "The Devil Hindered Me." The devil hindered me. You ever heard that? Somebody tell you that? Well, I would have, brother. I'd have been there. I would have given. I would have gone to church. I would have kept my promise. I would have so and so, but the devil hindered me, brother. Well, you might as well blame it on him as anybody. Because after all, he is indirectly involved in being hindered. But I'm going to tell you some more about this fascinating subject. The devil hindered me. Beginning in Galatians, the fifth chapter and verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? I want to repeat that. That's a wonderful verse. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, let's go a little further. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, so you know it wasn't the Holy Ghost that made you not come to church or not pay your tithes or not pray or not read your Bible or not resist the devil and not overcome that temptation. It wasn't the Lord. Then he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you keep listening to that kind of advice, you're going to be leavened thoroughly with a wrong kind of mental concept of your obligation to God. You're going to get your mind all tangled up and begin to think that God has some regard for those old excuses that you use as hindrances. All right, I want to show you what the word hinder means, to hinder. The word hinder means to check. That means to stop, to obstruct, to pervert starting, moving, or acting. Hinder somebody. Paul said, who's hindered you to this Galatian church that you should not obey the truth? In other words, who has checked you, stopped you? Who's obstructed you from obeying the Lord? Who's prevented you from starting or moving or acting in the direction that the Holy Ghost, through the Word of God, has given you direction to do and to carry out with a responsibility that requires movement on your part? Who hindered you that you're not obeying the truth of God's Word? There's another word that enters in to this particular doctrine or this particular subject that I'm preaching on today, and that goes along with hindrances, is excuses that are used to help us to cover up. You know, an excuse is a cover up for laziness or a lack of interest or desire or concern. It's a cover up. See, people use excuses for hindering causes that they don't obey the Lord. Excuses. An excuse is an apology to justify oneself. A justification, an alibi, and God does not accept any of it. It's a cover-up for laziness or a lack of interest or a lack of desire or a lack of concern. And an excuse is not a hindrance that God accepts. And Paul is writing to a church that we're using all types of excuses for hindrances when he said, you used to run well. My Lord, that's a wonderful thing there, that they once ran well. You used to be faithful. You were once trustworthy. You were once dependable when I'd come down there. And Lord have mercy, here is the epitomization of that trustworthiness, that faithfulness and all in the fourth chapter. Beginning in verse 9, he said, but now after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be brought into bondage? You desire again to be in bondage, he says here. But I like that explanation, verse 9 of Galatians 4. After that, you have known God. And then he says, or rather are known of God. Now, if those people had really known God, they would have known better than pulling this stunt, this alibi, offering these excuses of why they were not running well anymore. In other words, their performance was not acceptable to the Lord any longer. Their performance once was admirable. Once they were the epitomization of a faithful church that Paul would use in preaching and in describing to others how that a church should be faithful. Now listen to his commendation of something that existed in his past, in the past ministering, in his past association and fellowship with this church of Galatia. He said, now you're observing days and months and times and years. In other words, you've turned away from the truth and now you're using religious practices, things that are religious to observe for obedience to the word of the Lord, to the truth. I'm afraid of you. Ah, Lord have mercy. I'm afraid of you, he says, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'll tell you, that is kind of disgusting for a man of God, or even not just a preacher, but you as layman, you know it's disgusting. You exert all kind of energy and expend time and you pray earnestly for a family or an individual. Your heart just reaches out to them and you even deny yourself of other things that you could spend your time for that you would enjoy to try to help and to lead that family to the Lord and to get them on the rock of God's word. And pretty soon you look back and they slip back off again. And you do that two or three times and it does get rather frustrating and disgusting too. Paul says, I'm afraid of you, Galatians, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Then verse 12, Galatians 4, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. My Lord, have mercy. People criticize us in the ministry because I keep repeating, follow me as I follow Christ. Tell, oh, you don't need to go to Jacksonville to hear the word of God. Well, where are you going to hear it? In these areas people write from and say they can't hear it, then turn right around and condemn folks. Said, I met a fellow the other day that says, oh, you need to go to Jacksonville, brother. He said, listen, I can find God right here, as he wrote in the letter. Yeah, you can find God. But how about the word of God? And if you're going to go on and run, you once ran well, and then you're going to have this sad commentary that you're not running well anymore. You must hear the word of God and be taught the word of God by a true man of God. Or you're going to be like the Galatian church and you're not going to run well. You're going to be hindered. You're going to start some religious observance to compensate for your lack of depth in spirituality. That's all brought about by hearing the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall you hear without a preacher? And how shall you preach except to be sent? God have mercy. People scrambling around trying to find God when you find God in his word, and God is not found outside of the word of God. As Paul said, after that you've known God. Then he changes it. He says, or rather, you're known of God. My Lord, if they'd have known God through his word, they'd been on a rock. Now, they didn't really know God, but God knew them at one time and they ran well. He said, you haven't injured me at all, but said, I wish you'd be like I am. Said, you know how through the infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. That man went over there from Lystra where he was stoned and all beat up and battered. His poor body had been tortured with and inflicted the pain of his persecutors with the stonings and beatings. And he went to this church and preached to this church with his body in pain, racked with pain from the persecution of the people who rejected the word of God. He said in verse 14, in my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now, you must realize this is historically.